Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. I've been sharing a message the last 2 days that I've entitled Filled with New Wine, and we were looking at the Gospel of John and discovered what occurred during that very first time that Jesus performed a miracle. He and his mother were invited, and some of the disciples, to the marriage feast at Cana, where Jesus performed a miracle when they ran out of wine. There were six very, very large water pots, as I shared. They were really gigantic, holding six representing the number of man. And the actual, it said in Scripture, they were like two or three firkins apiece, but that basically they would be about a quarter of a barrel of water, about 9 English gallons. And there was, he said, fill the water pots with water, and it was normally used for the washing of feet, but when full, it was about 150 gallons, so there was an extravagance in this first miracle, and yet it wasn't the normal healing or deliverance. The dead weren't raised. It was a demonstration of his power, and he did it because at a wedding, it was a very important time, a celebration in the lives of the Jewish people, and so it would have been a matter of great shame and embarrassment to run short of anything because it went on for a whole week. And so basically, we see the love and compassion of Jesus, and also the scriptural lesson is that God wants us filled. He didn't do any of the work that he did, the miraculous work, until he was filled with the Holy Spirit, as John the Baptist baptized him in the River Jordan. And he wants his people filled with the Spirit. And it's necessary to know the mind of God, the will of God, and to do the works, those even greater works that Jesus said that we would do. And then, let me just read a portion in the second chapter of Acts. When he left, he said, make sure you stay in Jerusalem. And this is what happened, verses 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord. They were in unity in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there was a physical demonstration at that point in time. There appeared unto them, the scriptures say, cloven tongues of fire, as it were, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. What a heavenly, dramatic demonstration. In fact, when they went out and began to preach, Peter preached his first message. People thought they were drunk with new wine. He said, it's only the third hour of the day. We're not drunk on wine. It's new wine, basically. It's the Holy Spirit. And just imagine if you could have been there at that time. God really is a consummate showman. He knows how to do things right. John the Baptist said, one comes after me who's greater than me, whose sandal I'm not willing to, or not worthy to unloose, the Holy Spirit and fire. These men are not drunken as you suppose, Peter said. Remember, they had just gone through the worst time of their lives. They were hoping to see the Jewish kingdom restored, and everything was destroyed. All their hopes, all their dreams. Jesus, who raised the dead, he was taken captive because of the Pharisees, by the Romans, and suffered a cruel, horrible death as a criminal. And remember the two on the road to Emmaus? Jesus appeared to them. They said, haven't you heard what's going on? And a man mighty in God who did the work said, Jesus, just listen to them. And of course, he was constrained to stay with them. And when they broke bread, he just disappeared. And they said, then they rushed back to Jerusalem and say, we just saw the Lord. And in Acts, the 8th chapter, verses 12 and 15, there is mention of the evangelist Philip, who was preaching a revival in Samaria. And as he preached, signs and wonders were being accomplished, and people were being baptized. And when the apostles at Jerusalem heard Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John. Why? That they might receive the Holy Ghost. And remember in the 10th chapter of Acts, in the 45th verse, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. They were astonished. In verse 46, it says, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Further on in the book of Acts, recorded in the 19th chapter, the second verse, the scripture is telling us that Paul found certain disciples. This was when he had gone to Ephesus, and he said to them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And in verse 6, the scriptures tell us, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. In other words, they received the Holy Spirit just as the disciples did on the day of Pentecost. Praise God. So, why should we be even concerned about the Holy Spirit? Well, it's important because the Holy Spirit, His inspiration, His strength, His supernatural gifts, and the fruit of the Spirit are necessary to do the work of the ministry. There's a final scripture I'd like to share with you found in Matthew, the 26th chapter, verses 28 through 29. This was at the Last Supper, and Jesus was saying, for this, he was referring to the cup, the wine that he was holding, this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. As some of you may be familiar, in the Old Testament, in the 6th chapter of Numbers, there is what is called the Nazirite vow, that Jesus is basically on a Nazirite vow, if you will. And it could be taken by men or women, and it was designed to be a time where the individual could draw closer to the Lord. They would just basically separate themselves. It was like a time of special fasting, if you will, presenting themselves to the Lord so they could know Him better and walk closer with Him. And the requirement was, one of the requirements was, nothing should be eaten of the fruit of the vine. No wine, no grapes, no raisins, which were dried grapes. Nothing that is made of the vine tree, from the kernels even to the husk. That's what it says in Numbers. And so, remember the miracle at Cana, the first, that's what we're talking about, the being filled with new wine. I said it was prophetic. Well, the Word of God says that He's going to pour out of His Spirit on all flesh. This is which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Remember when the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, that exciting and wonderful day of Pentecost, they came out, Peter preached his first message, and In fact, there were those in Jerusalem for the feast from many different nations. They heard them speak in their own native tongue and gave glory to God. And Peter, remember, these were cringing disciples that were hiding for fear of the Jews, for the Romans, for all that they'd experienced. They were just not only discouraged, they were shattered, because this wasn't turning out the way they had anticipated. They knew Jesus was the Messiah, and they expected the kingdom to be restored. Well, Peter stood and boldly declared, "Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." That was the second chapter of Acts, verses 17 through 18. So, what can we say as we summarize this all up? Jesus started, if you will, at the wedding at Cana, and he did the miracle of turning water into wine. And he started then, but he'll bring everything to a grand conclusion, a glorious finality, if you will, a finale at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And there's no end to his supply of new wine, of the Holy Ghost, if you will. He saved the best for last, even as at that wedding. Just as the governor of the feast commented on the water turned to wine, he said, "It's the best I've tasted." The Lord wants to bring joy into your life, beloved. And I'm convinced that one of the greatest joys of the Father's heart is seeing you discover the giftings, the plans, and purposes he's placed within you before the foundation of the world. We need to be refilled. It's not a one-time experience. Remember, in Acts 4, Peter and John, threatened by the high priest, were let go because of fear of the people. They prayed for greater boldness, for signs, for wonders, for healings. And in verse 13, 31, it says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were filled," that's again, "with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." Father, we pray that you would do this today. Fill your people with the blessed Holy Spirit. Give us the boldness, the fire, the dedication, the signs and miracles and wonders, because you've not changed, that you gave to the early church, and even greater ways. We thank you for it. Amen and amen. Thank you for joining me. I look forward to receiving your letters of prayer requests. The announcer will give our contact information. Till next time, this is Sister Glass saying, "May God's best forever be yours," is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.